Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And the man who is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now is our Browns beat reporter, and he is Mr. Daryl Ryder. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hanging in, trying to sort through a lot of this, the NFL news that we've been going through over the past week, and just trying to just decipher it. Daryl, as you had a chance to listen to Kevin Stefanski yesterday, I'm just curious, what were your big takeaways from Stefanski's press conference yesterday?
He's in the same boat that we all are in right now, and they're trying to rearrange and make whatever necessary adjustments are required for them to be able to move forward with conducting the business of preparing for the 2020 season, whenever that's going to be. And unfortunately, we all want to know, what's the offseason program going to look like? That's obviously not going to start on Monday. The league, unfortunately, hasn't provided, at least from when we talked to him, the league hadn't provided those guidelines to the Browns or any of the other clubs just yet. So they're kind of in a holding pattern while they're also at the same time preparing for the draft.
Hey, Daryl, your thoughts on the draft, too, because I'm just wondering, should they have the draft? And, a lot of people have been kicking this thing around about, is this the right thing to do? I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad the commissioner put his foot down. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, and we need the distraction desperately, quite frankly. Teams make mistakes in the draft. It doesn't matter the circumstances or how perfect scenarios or situations are. And technology still allows, teams to be able to conduct business. I mean, Kevin Stefanski's 750 miles away at his home with his family in Minnesota, and he's, communicating on a regular basis with Andrew Berry and the front office and ownership and team officials and whatnot. So I have no problem with them going forward with the draft. Every team is playing by the same set of rules. Nobody is being given an advantage. And the other thing, too, and I think that maybe some of the hardcore football people, what they might be concerned most about is that, maybe some of the, some of the stuff leading up to the draft gets overblown a little bit. You know what I mean? There's no such thing as too much information, but maybe there is. Maybe you can, you don't have to do all this extensive stuff. I don't know. But I like the fact, obviously, that they are going to have the draft. I think that they'll be able to make it work technologically. They'll have no problem getting an audience to tune in. They'll have a captive audience for it. And like I said, teams make mistakes in the draft all the time. And, I don't think that there are so many roadblocks in their way right now where they couldn't effectively execute it and still be able to do a quality job, because they've already done the majority of their scouting and their research and all that. And usually the last month to month and a half leading up to the draft is basically checking and rechecking information and confirming what they know. And understandably, that's limited. But like I said, I think that they can conduct the draft perfectly fine.
Yeah, Daryl, just Jeff's lines dropped out a couple times here too. We were talking with Sal Palantonio about the window being open for the Browns. Do you buy that, or do you have a hardcore win, a hard hard line window on when the Browns need to win. I mean, we all know we want them to win this year. We expect them to win this year. But how long do you think that window is for the Browns?
Well, they're the foundation's there. They have the talent. A lot of the things that is throughout our conversations over the years, Andy, that we would lament about the Browns, you know, the lack of blue chip talent or elite talent, that's no longer the case. They've got quality players on both sides of the ball at key positions. So, you know, to me, it's up to the players, it's up to the coaches and the organization to just go out there and get the job done. Obviously, they didn't do that last year, and so they went ahead and made a lot of changes. There will be challenges, no question about it. When you do talk about a disadvantage, I do think that the Browns will be at a bit of a disadvantage when you're talking about preparing for this season, because the off-season program is supposed to begin. That's when you can start doing your off-season workouts, you know, the calisthenics stuff with the training staff, some meetings, so you start getting the playbooks and learning the offense and the defense and things like that. In May, the OTAs, where you actually get on the field, you have some practices, you do your on-field installs and that. None of that's going to happen. It'll probably all have to happen during training camp whenever that is actually able to begin. To me, that's where the disadvantage. But as far as the window to win now, I mean, it opened. The moment Odell Beckham Jr. was traded for last March, that window opened, in my opinion. So they blew 1 year, and unfortunately, they were going to have some obstacles here that they're going to have to overcome as they implement new offenses and new defenses here. But they have the talent to win. There's no question about it. And the way they're set up salary cap wise, and Andrew Berry's already done a great job with the free agent contracts. You notice none of the contracts are long. The longest contract he's given out in free agency was 4 years. Most of them, or I should say the others, are either a 3 year deal or 1 year deals. So the Browns are set up with tremendous flexibility to be able to continue to modify around the core of the football team.
I know it's
Darryl, it's real clear. They're going to have a left tackle. It'll either be somebody they take in the draft or Trent Williams, right? But what about the right guard spot? We haven't talked about that very much, and my thought has been you have candidates there who somebody's going to emerge. Who do you think that somebody might be, or do you think they could even go ahead and draft a guard, like third, fourth, fifth round, something like that, who could come in and maybe start?
Chris Hubbard. I think that's probably what they're going into the offseason here thinking by restructuring him. I think that is probably going to be their, you know, plan A, and then they'll, you know, look at a couple of the young kids, Wyatt Teller, I think is going to get a shot to win that job. So I'd probably say Hubbard is 1A, maybe Teller becomes plan B, but I think right guard right now, Jeff, I think they feel like they have internal options there, and left tackle will be something that they will take care of in the draft. But I can confirm the Cleveland Browns will have a left tackle when they take the field this season. They will have somebody at that position.
Woo, going out on a limb. But what were they doing in the morning? Whoa! Sorry, Ken. I had to do that too.
Ken's going to come after you for stealing his bits.
you should hear him go after the afternoon show. He's more worried about them than he is us. Are we concerned about guys not coming back in shape? I'm telling you, I think. Look, there's a lot of people here who are just kind of like, okay, I know I need to exercise. I know it's not our job to play professional football, but it's like, you look on anybody's social media feed right now, it's all like, all right, well, I'm, you know, staying at home. And, man, when people get bored, they start to eat. I mean, stress eat. Or I'm concerned that there are going to be guys that come back to camp who are not even close to being in shape. And we're going to be saying that going back. I'm glad to see Baker Mayfield working out, too, by the way, when he's putting his videos out of him working out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly is a concern. I was reading an article this morning. Giannis did an interview, and he was like, I don't even have a basketball hoop at home. So, wow. you know what I mean? And a lot of these guys are doing I don't know, the jailhouse workout, I think is what they call it. You know, the push-ups, the sit-ups, the pull-ups, you know, stuff like that. Maybe lifting some weights here and there if they have them handy. But with, you know, the gyms closed and, you know, Kevin Stefanski touched on it yesterday as well. Like right now, the workout stuff, you know, that's out of the Browns' control as well. Because the players aren't allowed to use the facilities. All the facilities have been shut down, you know, for you know, safety reasons and that. So, you know, I think the players in all sports are probably doing whatever they can do to keep themselves in shape in that. But, you know, it's a great question you raised there, Andy, that, you know, because there is a difference between being in shape and then being in shape for your sport. You know what I'm saying? Being physically fit and then being in shape and ready to go for your sport. And you know, I think that the one thing that you'll certainly look out for once they are able to begin practicing and whatnot are those soft tissue injuries, the muscle pulls, the muscle tears, blowing out ligaments and stuff like that. Those are the things you really start to worry about. And again, I think it's imperative, if, you know, since we're talking about the Brown situation here, I think it's imperative for the NFL to, as quickly as possible, get with the NFLPA and work out, you know, what these teams can do. Because right now, Kevin Stefanski doesn't know when he's going to be allowed to send a playbook to his players. And, you know, they're not allowed to talk football with these guys. They're only allowed to check in. And Stefanski made it clear yesterday they're in contact with their players on a regular basis, checking in, making sure that they're okay, making sure their families are okay, making sure they don't need anything, you know, like that. But they can't talk football right now. And so the league has to get that squared away and offer that guidance to these teams so that they can – you know, find some way to begin the preparations. Unfortunately, with what's going on in the world, there is no timeline. We don't have a definitive date where you could absolutely say by this date, everything's fine. We can go back to life as it was before. And that's the major complication in this thing. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know, the league was optimistic this week. I know Jimmy and D Haslam sent a note to season ticket holders, talking about how they expect to play a full 16-game season. I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to wonder if they're going to be able to even start training camp on time, which, as we know, it's usually that second to last or last week of July.
I think that's a fair comment, Daryl, because at this point, you can't put a timetable on anything that's going on here. Kevin Stefanski made some comments yesterday, and I think I fritzed out when I was talking with Andy about that. And it made me kind of think, because he said, you know, we as an organization, we believe in Baker Mayfield and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, yeah, those are the comments that somebody makes when they're not sure if he's the right guy or not, because he hasn't proved it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, what's he supposed to say in that situation? You know what I mean?
No, I get it, Daryl, but it just kind of reinforced to me, you know, because you're not making those comments about Rodgers or Roethlisberger veterans. You're not making them about Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, young guys who have established winning records. And I thought, okay, I get it. I understand. But just the fact that he's saying, hey, we believe in Baker, blah, it makes me think, well, all right, Baker sure has a heck of a lot to prove before he becomes that guy who – because – otherwise, you know, if you know he's the guy, you're not even bothering to make a comment like that, right?
Well, in his defense, he was answering a question that I believe, if I remember correctly, the question was something to the effect of, why did you feel it was so important to come out and throw your full weight of support behind Baker Mayfield? And that's what elicited the, well, it's, you know, I believe in Baker, the organization believes in Baker, and, it, you know, we're surrounding him with as many people to help him be as successful as possible. I'm paraphrasing his comments, obviously, but I think that that's what it was. I understand what you're asking, Jeff, and I totally get it. I think there's nothing else for him to say in that instance when you're asked that type of a question. I would be more surprised if he didn't say that, if he didn't express his belief in Baker. So I'm not ready to put Baker on the hot seat. I am willing to say, hey, this is it, you know, kind of a, you know, put up or shut up year for you. Need to see the rookie Baker Mayfield and not the sophomore season Baker Mayfield this coming year. But again, you know, they can't prepare for the season right now. And, you know, so that is something that I'm not making an excuse. That is a reality that they are working around. And as Kevin Stefanski said yesterday, they have contingency plans, and then they have contingency plans for the contingency plans and contingency plans for those contingency plans.
Daryl, last question for you. When are we going to see the new uniforms?
The only thing I know is it's going to be this month. And J.W. Johnson, who is a part of the Haslam Ownership Group, the executive vice president, he tweeted a little teaser out there the other night during all of us watching games 5 and 7 of the NBA Finals in 2016.
Don't spoil it. I taped it. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I don't know how it ends. I don't want to spoil it for you. I hear it gets real close at the end, though, and there's three significant plays.
That's all I want to tell you about it.
But if there's ever a time to tease your uniforms, it's while everybody else is paying attention to something else that actually meant something in this town. But the uniforms will come out this month. What I have heard is the brown face mask is staying. The brownie elf is going to be incorporated in merchandise a little bit more than it has been in recent past. And
we saw that on the draft hat.
Yeah, and the uniforms might look familiar to people, and that's all I'm going to say.
Have you seen them?
I have not seen them, but I have heard some things.
You've heard some things. Okay. All right, well, Daryl.
So we're flashing back to about 2000, huh, Daryl?
I don't know. I don't know what specific era they are drawing from. I mean, the Browns, one of the misnomers about the Browns is, they never changed their uniforms. Browns used to change their uniforms all the time. So it just, the color scheme was, you know, pretty much the same. So I don't know with what era that this new Nike version of uniform is drawing from, but the clean, classic look is, from what I understand, going to be in vogue, and that should make a lot of people very, very happy.
Good. Daryl, thank you very much. Of course, we'll read your stuff constantly on 92.3thefan.com, and we're always listening for you here on the air. So thank you, Daryl.
You got it.
Daryl Ryder, Browns beat reporter on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.